That is such a wonderful song, that servant song, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you, for you are a servant. Make me one too. Yes, a beautiful song that reflects exactly the sentiments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 20 and verses 25 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus says here in this passage. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." There are two different models of authority shown in this passage. The first model is that of the Gentiles that Jesus describes in verse 25. The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. That's one model of leadership that Jesus describes. The model where you have the top-down structure and the top person at the top commands, and he sends, and he delegates, and he's in charge, and he makes the decisions, and he lords it over the others, you see, and then he exercises authority over them. The second model of leadership, Jesus says, is the model that we need to practice as his disciples and as his people. It's not the desire to be in control in that model of lordship or that model of I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to obey me. That's not the model. But rather, it is the model of serving one another. "Yet it shall not be so among you," verse 26 says. "But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." A servant. That's the kind of leadership that we need. That's the kind of leadership that Jesus wants. That's the kind of disciples that Christ wants. Because that's the kind of person that Jesus himself was. "Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, Jesus didn't come to be some great potentate who sat on a throne in Rome or Constantinople or wherever and dictated one way or another what others were going to do. That's not what he came to do. He didn't even come to kind of run a kind of a middle class business, so to speak, where he was in control of some things and then others were above him, and that they told him what to do, and then he went out and did it, and then he had control over some other people. No, that's not what he came to do. But he came to serve, to be a servant, and he uses the word here in verse 27, to be a slave. Slaves had no rights. Slaves had no authority. Slaves could not dictate to others what they were supposed to do and what they were not supposed to do. Slaves had no voice. Slaves had no power. Slaves had no control over anything. And yet, that's what Jesus said we are to be. And he illustrates this with his own life. It's not like he's asking us to do something that he himself is not willing to do. And in fact, he was willing to give his own life as the ransom for us. Now, he's not even asking us to do that. But he is asking us to serve one another. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. You know, in order to be a servant, we need to have two different things. We need to have the attitude of a servant, and then we need to have the actions of a servant. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this attitude, having this attitude of a servant. And this is perhaps the greatest barrier of all to being a servant, because this is the barrier that occurs within our own mind. And if we can overcome that, then we can be the servant that Christ wants us to be. As we think about the attitude of having a servant, as we thought about it, we remember that it is an attitude that considers others before self. Philippians 2 and verses 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So we need to consider others before self. In this attitude of a servant, we've got to consider ourselves as being unworthy of honor. And we recall the parable that Jesus spoke about those who went into a feast and were bidden to come into a feast. And one guy went in and he sat at the very front, where the most honored guests were to sit. And Jesus said, when you do that, don't go in there and sit in the very front. Because what happens if the host decides you aren't the most honored guest? You'll be sent to the back. Sit in the back, and then if he wants you to sit closer, he'll ask you to come closer. But the whole idea behind that was, we don't consider ourselves worthy of honor. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And in Romans 12 and verse 16, he says, "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits." And the idea there is that we are to not think of ourselves in a way that we expect and that we think we deserve others to honor us. And the servant is not going to do that. The slave is not going to make such a presumption, right? He's not. But then to have the attitude of a servant, we also need to not think that there is any task that is too lowly for us. Consider what Naaman thought. And we remember his attitude when he was told to go dip himself in that old nasty Jordan River 7 times. And he was angry and he went away wrathful, because there were rivers where he was from that were so much better. That old nasty, dirty Jordan River. And one of his servants had to come to him and say, "Well, if he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Why not just go ahead and do this simple thing, this lowly thing?" And of course he did. And he was cured of his disease. Sometimes we think that there are things that are too lowly for us, and we don't want to do them. We've got to get over that attitude within our mind. There's nothing that's too low. And then we need to take into account the principle of love. We cannot be the servants that God wants us to be unless our service is motivated by love for one another. Consider what John wrote in 1 John 3 and verses 16 through 19. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him." And so love needs to motivate everything we do as we seek to be servants. And as we have the attitude of a servant, we must have love within our lives. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the second main point of this lesson, which is that in order to be a servant, in order for God to make me a servant, we need to get busy and serve and get involved in the work. You know, it's not enough to have the attitude of being a servant. We can have the right attitude, but if we don't get busy, if we don't get involved, if we don't get our hands actually dirty with doing the work, we haven't been a servant. Turn with me, if you would, for just a moment to the book of John in chapter 13. And look at what Jesus does here in John chapter 13 and starting in verse 2. It says, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." You see, Jesus knew that it was more than just about platitudes, that it was more than just about thoughts and ideas, that it was more than just about the thinking, that it was about the action as well. And when it came down to it, Jesus himself got down on his hands and knees, wrapped that towel around his waist, and washed those disciples' dirty old feet. And look, their feet were dirty, okay? They weren't nearly as clean as our feet today, all right? And those feet were not did not smell like roses either, let me tell you. They probably stank pretty bad. You see, washing the feet of the guests was the job of the household slave or the household servant. And when the guests came in, the first thing the servant was required to do was to get that bowl of water, to wrap that towel around his waist, and to wash those feet off before they came into the house. Because people walked great distances in those days and time, and they had very thin sandals that were made maybe of one piece of leather, if at all. And their feet got dusty, and they got bruised, and they got hurt, and they had sores on them. And their feet were not nearly as pretty as our feet today. We take pretty good care of our feet by comparison. And so Jesus got down on his hands and knees on that filthy, dusty floor. Those floors weren't as clean as our floors are. A lot of times they were made of dirt, or they were made of rock or stone or something. And they were uneven, and the dirt got in the cracks. And it hurt to get down on your knees, to put your knees on that hard cobblestone floor. So it was a task. It was a real job to wash somebody else's feet, let alone to wash the feet of 11 disciples who were sitting in that room. Must have taken a while. You can kind of see the disciples sitting there and looking around at each other, almost embarrassed and ashamed that Jesus was the one who had to get down on his knees and do it. And Peter, more so than any of them, represents their attitude when he says in verse 7, or when he says, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Which wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement. "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus responds to it in verse 7, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And so he makes it very clear at that point. Jesus isn't going to wash his feet. But then Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So when it's all said and done, verse 12, when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about platitudes here. He wasn't talking about the ideal. He wasn't talking about, well, this is just, you know, this notion or concept of being a servant. It's something that I want you to think about. No, look, he had just demonstrated that. He had just got down on his old knees and done the very thing that he wanted them to do. He acted. And that's what we need to do as well as his people, as his servants. We need to act. How do we get involved in serving one another? Well, first of all, we need to understand that involvement is necessary. Involvement is not optional. It's not, well, I could either get involved with the church or not. You know, I can just keep coming on Sunday and maybe Sunday night and sometimes Wednesday night, and I'll just go home after that and do my own thing, whatever I want to do. No, that's not going to cut it. Involvement is not optional. It's something that we must do if we're going to be the servant that Christ wants us to be. Did Christ sit back and say, well, you know, I could wash these guys' feet or maybe not. You know, it's optional. I really don't have to do it here. No, that's not what he did. He got down and he washed the feet. And then he said, you got to do what I just did. Yes, we have to be involved. Yes, we have to do what the Lord wants us to do. Yes, we've got to take up the cross and follow him on a daily basis. Yes, we've got to be involved. You know, involvement is something that we find more of as we get into it. And the old adage is true that the more you put into something, the more you're going to get out of it. Well, we really learn to appreciate and enjoy more those things in which we are involved on a daily basis. Involvement. We need to be involved. And the first hurdle in order for us to start acting as servants is to get over this mindset that somehow I don't need to be involved with the church. That somehow I don't need to be doing the things that the church is doing. That I can just sit back and relax and let them do what they want to do. And then I can do what I want to do. That's not what Jesus did. And that's not what we should expect to do either if we are going to truly wear the name of Christ and claim to be a Christian. We've got to be involved. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. We've got to get involved. But then we've got to involve others as well. You know, sometimes we get the attitude that, well, nobody else is going to do this, and so I've got to do it all. And that's really the wrong attitude to have. It's really not a biblical attitude, because sometimes being a servant means getting other people involved and not just thinking that we have to do it all ourselves. So here's two different extremes, right? There's the one extreme where somebody really doesn't get involved and do anything. And then there's the other extreme where somebody is just trying to do everything with the attitude that, well, if I don't do it, it just won't get done. Well, neither of those extremes are godly. Neither one of them are biblical, because God wants everyone to be involved. And we've all got to be involved to some degree. You know, if you look at the Bible, we have such great examples of situations that illustrate these exact kinds of points. And one of them is found in Luke chapter 5 and verse 7, when Jesus worked the miracle of bringing all the fish into the nets, you know, and the disciples were there in the boat, and they had all these fish in the nets, and they couldn't even bring all of the fish into the boat. There were so many fish. And so what did they do? They asked others, hey, you come over here and you help us. Help us haul in all these fish. We can't do it by ourselves. And you know, that's true. God created the church not so that one person could do it by himself, but so that we could act together as a body. And different people have different abilities and different talents and can do different things. And we all need to work together in order to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. We all need to work together to be the kind of servants that God wants us to be. And so sometimes being a servant means getting other people involved. And in fact, it takes more of the heart of a servant to actually sometimes walk up to somebody else and say, would you help me? Would you help me? And why is that? Because we've got to swallow some of our pride. We've got to tell ourselves that we can't do it by ourselves. We've got to really confess that we need other people in our life. Oh yes, being a servant means involving others. Being a servant also means that we ask what needs to be done. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Being a servant means that we've got to ask. Now look, we don't always know what needs to be done. We don't always know what's going on. We don't always know everything that's happening. And so we need to ask. Now sometimes we're afraid to ask. Sometimes we don't want to ask because we're afraid that we might show our ignorance, or we're afraid that somebody might make fun of us. Oh, didn't you know that? Well, no, I didn't know that. That's why I'm asking. Right? We need to ask. We need to ask. Don't be sort of passive aggressive about that, right? Where you sit back and you see all the stuff that's going on. You say, well, I'll just wait for somebody to ask me to get involved. Don't be like that. That's not the right way to approach things. Because look, other people are going to look at you and see you sitting back waiting to be asked. And they're going to think, well, I guess he doesn't really want to be involved. And while you're sitting back waiting on somebody else to ask you to get involved, they're sitting back and saying, well, he doesn't really want to be involved, so I better not ask him. And so what happens? You don't get involved. When you were really wanting to be involved, but you didn't want to ask. Now look, we need to put all that foolishness away from us on both sides of the equation. First of all, we need to ask if there's anything that's going on that we can be involved in. Ask the elders, ask the deacons, ask the preachers, ask our secretary, you know. Ask whoever if there's something that can be done. We've got things to do. There are things to be done. And so we need to ask. But then also on the other side of the equation, don't presume that somebody doesn't want to be asked. Maybe somebody does want to be asked, and those of us who are in leadership, we need to be willing to go up and tap people on the shoulder and say, would you do this or would you do that? Can you be involved in this? Can you be involved in that? We've got to come together in these matters so that we can really be what Christ wants us to be, which is a true servant who is doing what Christ wants us to do. And so we need to ask. Those who want to work need to ask if there's anything to do. Those who are in leadership need to ask others to do things. Now we've got something coming up, and you can be involved in this. There's some things to do. We're going to do this trunk or treat event on the 29th of October here at the park downtown New Boston. And last year is a really big success. We were able to get some candy in the hands of the kids, you know, of the community. And then in addition to that, Candy, we were able to put a little ad in there about some of our programs here at the New Boston Church of Christ. And so we got out and we got those things done and we handed those little packages out and kids got that candy and they had a good time. And those of us who handed out the candy had a good time. And we got the message out about some of the work of the church here, which is good. And we got that coming up again, and we're going to need some help with that. And so we need candy. We need some people to help with putting a little message on the candy or getting some messages together. We need some people to help to distribute the candy. So we're going to need several things here. And you can be involved in that. Now, that's just one thing. Now, there's many more things that we do. Just look at our calendar, and you can see some of the things that we do. And we can get involved in all of those things. But ask, volunteer. Sometimes you don't need to wait for other people to tell you what to do, and you don't need to ask. You just need to go do it. There's things around here that we can do that nobody has to tell you to do and you don't have to wait. Do you see a piece of trash out in the parking lot? Well, pick it up and go throw it in the trash can. Is there something, do the hedges need to be trimmed? Well, bring a hedge trimmer out and trim them. Hey, I tell you, nobody's going to complain about somebody coming out and trimming the hedges. I promise you. We're going to be grateful for that. We're going to be thankful for that. Okay? So there's things that you don't have to wait to do in order to do them. And a lot of times, the things that need to be done are things we don't really need to ask about. We just need to do it. We just need to volunteer and go out and do it. You don't have to ask to go out into the community and advertise for any of our events. You don't have to ask to talk to your neighbor about the gospel. You don't have to ask to get out and to do something for another person who is in need in the community. You don't have to ask to go visit the sick in the hospital. You don't have to ask to go see somebody who is shut in their home. Or you don't have to ask to go to volunteer at the nursing home. You don't have to ask to go participate in our monthly worship service at the nursing home. Just come and do it. You will be welcome to be involved in any of those activities which fall under Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And so let's get involved. Let's really do what Jesus wants us to do. Let's say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And really serve others. James says it like this in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what kind of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Now think about that for just a moment. When you wake up in the morning, one of the first things you probably do is go stand in front of the bathroom mirror. And unless you're perfect like me, you probably don't like what you see. No, I'm just kidding. I go stand in front of the mirror every morning and my hair is one way and the other. And sometimes my lips are hanging off the side of my face, you know. And I've got things coming out in places they ought not to come out, right? We all have that in the morning, or something like that, maybe. Now I'm trying to be humorous a little bit here, okay? You can laugh, it's all right. But the point that James is making is this. What if you took a good look in that mirror and you saw all those problems and you just walked away and you went out into public like that? You wouldn't do that, would you? You would comb your hair at least, maybe. You'd brush your teeth, and you'll get that spinach out between those cracks in your teeth, right? Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so. And then you might even go even beyond that. You know, put a little makeup on here, maybe it's a little lipstick, you ladies. I hope none of the guys are doing that, but, you know, whatever. But then get out there and present yourself in a way so that you look pleasant, right? Well, James is saying sometimes that's exactly what we do with the Word of God. Oh, yes, yeah, I love my neighbor as I love myself. Okay, all right, go out there and then what do? Take advantage of other people, manipulate them, try to take away from them. What? Are you reading the same Bible that I'm reading? Do we really love our neighbor? Are we really going out there and trying to help them? Are we really putting into practice the things that Jesus said? Are we really going to go out there and be a servant and to really work for others, to really serve others? Is that what we're doing? We need to have the attitude that Paul tells us about in Colossians 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, the Lord is our supervisor, so to speak. He's our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And we're working for Him. And He's set the standard for us. And we need to follow that standard within our life. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and verse 17. And so let's resolve to get involved in service to one another. Let's really be the kind of servant Christ wants us to be. Let's get down on our hands and feet and really serve each other. Let's not wait to be asked to do something. Let's not be timid and let's go out and ask if there's anything we can do. Let's be the kind of servant that Christ was. Let's involve ourselves in the lives of others and in the life of God's people, His church. Do you need to make a change in your life this morning to do just that? To be the kind of person that Christ wants you to be. To really serve Him in everything and to love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. You need the prayers of the church to make that happen. Then this morning you have an opportunity to request those prayers. Do you need to become a child of God? Stop living for Satan and start living for the Lord. Not living in that old way of thinking where I'm going to be in power and I'm going to be in control and I'm going to control everything and everyone. How's that working out for you? Probably not too well. Probably not too well. Well then, listen to what Jesus says. Come unto me, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now the life of the servant is a life of peace and joy and love and contentment. And that's what Jesus wants us to have within our life. Why not give yourself to Him this morning? Obey His will. Become a child of God. While together we stand and while we sing.